I'm Jamie Hurst, and for the MSU Denver Alumni Association, we're excited to bring you Bird Talk, a podcast about our alumni, their careers, and their lives. Is that your first tattoo?
My first.
Okay.
At 62 years
old.
Oh my
God.
What the heck was I thinking?
What were you thinking? Why'd you wait so long?
Well, you know.
I know.
I guess I'm
still afraid if your mom was going to get mad about it or your grandma. Grandma's going to get pissed. That's
You know what? I saw her yesterday. She didn't even notice it.
There you go.
Like, awesome. Mom, look.
Our guest today is Chucky Moss, a proud two-time graduate of the College of Business, earning a degree in finance in 1988 and another one in accounting in 1991. With over 30 years at Wolters Kluwer, Chucky has worn many hats, from consultant to product manager to his current role as sales channel and affiliate manager, all of which have centered on client advocacy. Beyond his resume, Chucky is a proud advocate for diversity in the accounting profession and a firm believer in creating space for the next generation of Black accounting professionals through the National Association of Black Accountants. Today, Chucky lives in Scottsdale with his wife Sandra and their Boston Terrier, Zadie. Former member of the Alumni Association Board, Chucky recently re-engaged with MSU Denver, attending the Roadrunners Roadshow in Phoenix this spring. Chucky, we are excited to have you back on campus today, so welcome home and welcome to Bird Talk.
Thank you. It's a good time. Glad I'm here.
God, so excited. So we've actually never met, and that's pretty unique for me on anyone on the podcast. I've been here 12 years, so I've met a lot of our alums. And so this is exciting for me because there's going to be a lot of things that I don't know about you. And so this may take us anywhere.
They told me you do good research. I believe that you know everything.
I do. So. I mean, I do some research. I think I scared the hell out of Roy. It was this last one because I was like, Roy. So I read this thing that, you know, you built half your house and you did this and the kerosene. And he was like, how do you know all this stuff? I was like, it's on the internet. It's free and available for us to know.
Nothing's true out there, though. Nothing
Correct.
Is true.
But no, I know very little about you. So I'd love to just kind of start at the top. Colorado native, so born here. Why MSU Denver? How did that happen? How did you stumble upon us? And then why twice?
So let me go back
a little bit. Yeah, go back even more.
A little bit. Not a true native.
Okay.
My father was military, so a lot of traveling around.
Okay.
I was actually born in Texas. Keep that a secret, okay?
Shh, don't tell him.
Born in Texas and finally moved around and settled here in Denver. So I did some elementary, went to Germany, came back. I did my junior high school years here.
Oh, so you floated a bit. Yeah.
Russell Knowles and I are both proud patriots, you know, George Washington High School.
Yeah.
So, you know, Park Hill native, grew up in Park Hill and right up the street. But that's kind of the early years. Now, how I get to Metro, that's a whole new story.
Perfect. That's what we're here for.
I'll give it to you. So I took a little bit of a longer route out of high school. I guess I was a good science student. That's what my teachers told me. You should go be a doctor. Well, you bet. I'll go to CSU and I will be a bioscience pre-med major.
Sure.
Great. So I did do that. And, oh, let's say 3 years into doing that, I found out it's like, this is not what I want to do. Then it's a matter of changing. It's like, I want to be a finance major. Why do I want to be a finance major? And that goes back to growing up. And I think that this is critically important is that there are role models in your life.
Yeah.
If you're lucky to have one, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And we had one in the neighborhood. This individual's a little bit older than us. And we saw him, you know, East High School graduate, basketball player, scholarship to Western, isn't it Western? That's in like Gunnison.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Western State, yeah.
Went to Western, full ride, you know, came back, graduated, got a job downtown Denver. He's got an office on whatever floor it was. And he's driving a BMW and he's in suits every day. And just being around him and his buddies, listening to them talk, they talked, you know, real estate and money and finance. And I was like, that's me, finance. So back to CSU, I'm going to be a finance major. You have to get all the prerequisites made before you actually can get accepted to the business school. So at about year five, I'm like, well, Fort Collins is just not me. I'm a city boy more so. You know, grew up in Park Hill, did a lot of playing around down here. None of this was here when I was coming down hanging out.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's go back and let's check out the city and see what's up. And so I made that decision to attend Metro at that time, transferred all my credits down and, you know, got
probably had like 150 by the time you graduated.
More than that, right?
Probably,
I had that many in sciences. No. So what ended up happening, transferred in, got my degree, and finance as a career was kind of tanking here. You know, all the banks were going downhill, all that kind of good stuff. So I took a job with State Farm as a claims adjuster.
Oh, man.
Auto claims at that.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, could you at least put me on a cat storm or something? But right. No. So I'm going out and looking at bumpers and, you know, taking interviews over the phone. But anyway, that wasn't me. And I took another job with a company that was working with BLM and managing, you know, royalties and all the different contracts for the government lands. So I said, let me go back to school. Let me go back to Metro. The first time I was down here, there were a few career services, and I'm just going to throw some names out there. And
if
anybody knows, Ron Lujan was THE man. He did so much for me in that office and sort of prepping me for what I could do. And then that first time, it's like it didn't happen. Second time I came back, we prepped in a whole different way with a whole new degree, accounting. And we did a lot of things down here that just, boom, next thing you know, I met Arthur Anderson.
Yeah.
Now, there were a lot of other people and things that I took advantage of down here on the campus, but that's kind of a short story for the two. Well, here it is. In 8 years, I got two degrees, so it averaged out to four.
Yeah. There
okay,
you go.
Per degree.
There you go.
So I'm cool. But that was really how I got here to Metro and through Metro and then onto a career.
Yeah. So 3 years at Arthur Anderson, right?
Ooh, yes.
Maybe two or three. And then now you've spent the rest of your career, 30 years.
There was a teeny window there. So Arthur Anderson here in Denver in the tax department. Had a buddy, lived in LA. He was getting married. Chuck, come out for the wedding. Headhunters are calling. So I took a couple of the calls. Small boutique firm, Kenneth Leventhal Real Estate Group. Nobody knows who they are. But if you think about that old TV show, L.A. Law, you know, mustard suits and green tie, that was them versus accounting, which was blue suit, white shirt, yellow tie, depending upon what firm, red tie if you're at the other firm. But went out there and it's like, okay, great, fine and dandy. This is cool. I found some things out. You know, you need to do a lot of research. And when you're moving, even though it could be the same career, different states have different rules.
Oh, sure.
California, LA, where you're from, they had an audit requirement. And I'm going out there as a senior, and it's like, you're never going to get your audit requirements as a senior. You're just going to bill at too high of a rate. Writing's on the wall. It's like, okay, well, I guess public accounting is not the career for me. So at that point in time, I met a guy, Larry Lee. I'll throw his name out there. He worked for CCH. And actually, they were the software vendor that we used for Kenneth Leventhal, for, you know, Anderson. So I was like, I know these tools.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why don't you come work for us?
Yeah.
And so that's the 30 years that I'm working on now.
And I would imagine, I was trying to deep dive into Wolters Kluwer and the amount of software and things that they do for various industries. I have to imagine that in 30 years, you've seen unbelievable changes and growth. And now with cloud and AI, like, it's probably a constant learning process for you, right?
Sure. Oh, you bet. So just to give you an idea, you mentioned all the different products. So it used to be that everything was paper.
Oh, geez.
And so you'd go to the library and there was this big, thick federal tax reporter and you're flipping through these little onion pages, right?
Yep.
It's onion paper. And if you did it too hard, you ripped the page out. It's like, oh,
yeah.
So it went from paper to electronic. And when I say electronic, it went from the 5 1/4 floppies, then to the 3.5 floppies.
Yeah.
Then it went to DVDs, CDs. Then there was the external reader. And then there's no more DVDs.
Yeah.
And everything is really electronic now. And so we've had to keep up with that.
Yeah.
And our clients have had to keep up with that. The technology drives everything.
It does.
That's really the biggest mover.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys know AI is the next mover. And I don't know what that's going to mean or do. I tell people, just watch Terminator and you know what's going to happen.
Correct.
So, but the career has been, it's been a good one.
Yeah.
You know, who wants to stay someplace for 30 years?
Right.
I did. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen many different countries around the world. I've been introduced to many different cultures, religions, all of the different big four firms out there that used to be the big eight when I was coming out, all the ones that are beneath them and anybody and everybody else who is doing anything with debits and credits.
Yeah.
I've been involved with that. So
that's very cool. Yeah. You said it yourself, like very rare today to see anybody stay somewhere for 30 years. Like I talk about my 12 years here and I go, I can't believe I've been at the same place for 12 years. But again, for me, it's like, no, I love the work that I do. It's changing all of the time. So I never get stagnant because higher ed isn't as much of a blender as any other industry now where things are coming in and going out and we've got to adjust and flow. Plus, I love the impact of the work I do. I mean, I get to do, this is my job.
Yeah. Too much fun, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like very cool. I know that we make a difference in the city, in the state, and all these young people's lives. And so I've stuck around for so many years because of all those positive things. a lot of which probably is at the heart of like kind of the mission orientation I have with this institution. You're at a, in a public space. There's got to be all sorts of other opportunities and different things. So what about your loyalty? Is it a testament to you? Is it a testament to the people you've worked with, the company culture? What do you think it is?
You know, it's a combination, but truthfully, I view myself as a server and the industry that I'm in, the people that I serve and what I do for them. So you're having issues with your software and Chuck comes in and I do everything that I can to make you better when I leave.
Yeah.
And Monday, you know, somebody else is Tuesday, somebody else is Wednesday. So I'm always working with somebody new.
Yeah.
And it's always a new situation. So there's always this constant churn or growth that I have to go through to get to that place where I can deliver appropriate service to those individuals. That's the biggest thing. It's just when I walk out the door, you're better off and you love me for it.
Yeah.
And I've got some stupid little sayings because I was always up in front of a group of, it depended on what I was doing, a hotel room full of 500 to 10Ds and I'm doing a presentation. I'm actually at a firm and I'm actually training 100 people or it's a smaller firm and I've got two people. But you have to meet them where they are. You have to actually provide them the best that you possibly can and make them better off when you're out the door. The thing about leaving the door sometimes, and again, I told you these stupid things. So who's your buddy? Who's your pal? F1, F2.
Yeah.
Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? F1, F2. I just did it to you. You don't even know it. You will say, who's your buddy? Who's your pal? F1, F2. To the next person you see on the street.
Yeah.
And it's going to be that Chuck guy. You know, he's the one that put that, seared it into my brain. So I've done that quite often and I've been remembered.
Yeah.
And that's always the good thing is like, oh, wow, I did that for you. Oh, well, you know, that made my day. Thank you. That's why I've been there for 30 years.
Yeah, the service aspect. I'm right there with you. Like I always talk about like my greatest fear in life is just not being of use. Like, so utility is a very big value for me. And that can look like many different forms. It can be useful in your community. It can be useful in your place of employment, in your family, in your personal relationships. And I think that drives so many people without them probably putting those words behind it is that everyone wants to feel like they made a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
And in those cases, and I love that you could just articulate it and say, no, like I like going in, being the guy that solves the problem, helps you out, makes your day a little bit better than it was before. And then I get to go and do it in a different way the next day. So there's not so much monotony, right? You're solving different problems every day.
You know, just as an example, you know, here I'm in the US and I do that. And for about 5 years before COVID broke out, it stopped. Everything stopped after, you know, COVID, right? Yeah. So I was going to India because a lot of the firms were spinning up offices to do a lot of global mobility work is what they call it. So expatriate taxation.
Sure.
I'm boring. Mm-hmm. Boring.
No, I get it.
So
I got
people who get those nice jobs overseas where their companies pay for their housing and all that kind of good stuff, they file a certain return.
Sure.
But anyway, they get certain kind of benefits. They were spinning up practices over there. So with that service in mind and going to a different culture and doing that in a different land, and then the people were just awesome.
Yeah.
They took care of me. They did anything and everything they could to help me out, you know, get used to where I am, the experiences. So how often do you get to go to Nepal and go fly over the Himalayas is the way they say it. Himalayas over here.
Yeah, right.
And you drink champagne as you're flying over the Himalayas.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen. But, you know, I got to do all of that and going to like the Nandi temple, which is Hindu religion. And you go to a temple and the temples are built in the 1100s, no concrete, no mortar, no drywall, and they're still standing just from being carved correctly and placed and using gravity and just seeing that kind of a thing.
Yeah,
so,
how very cool.
Yeah.
Like something that you don't probably as a 20, 25-year-old kid going, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to study finance and accounting, and I'm going to go to all these incredible places and see these things. Like what a blessing that has been for you. And I do think that the availability of that is more often than we probably want to think. I think everybody at some point has some opportunity to do something a little bit crazy, but oftentimes we just get so scared and we're saying, I know this, so I'm going to stay with the comfort that I know.
Yep.
So it sounds like you've gotten kind of the best of both worlds. You've stayed with the comfort of this organization, but man, have you been able to take risks along the way?
Yeah. And here's the thing. You mentioned Metro. I'm coming back, just re-engaging.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've done re-engagement with a lot of different organizations.
Yeah.
And, you know, with CSU too, they're trying to get some of my time too.
Oh, sure they want
But here's the thing. To come back and let somebody know that is available. And hey, look, you know, if you do this and you want this, it's there for you. If you want to travel the world at least in the accounting profession, you can do that if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
You can go for years at a time, or you can just go on a special engagement. But to know that that's something, man, I wish I had somebody telling me everything that was available to me. So that's, again, coming back and trying to give back.
Well, yeah. And it's a great full circle moment now that you have that opportunity to be that for someone else. And it sounds like your time here, you had very important people that helped you along the way. And I think as industries have continued to change, to your point, the post-COVID world, everything's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Technology has moved and been a driver for so many things. How valuable the resources and the knowledge that our alums have to say, like, hey, yeah, no, I've been through all of this. Here's actually what I see. Can I help you? It's by far the greatest value add that any student at any university can have. And what I love about this place is we have more and more people like you that are like, yeah, no, I have some things I can offer. Who wants to listen?
You bet. You know? And what was really interesting, we were having lunch early today with some MSU grads and very, very similar.
You can say Metro. It's fine. I watched you kind of like almost like choke while you said MSU. You can say Metro.
Okay. Thank you so much. Because again, we talked about Metro, the one word brand. It's like Kleenex. It's Metro.
Right.
You know, Metro is like what a school is. It's a college. It's a university. It's education. It's Metro. You can wipe your nose with it. You know? That's Kleenex. But you get the idea. Cher, Madonna, one-namers. Yeah. Metro's a one-namer for me.
I get it.
Our stories were similar. You know, Russell and I went to the same high school. You know, different years. But he heard from some people who basically said about these things, you should look into them. And here's how you can take advantage of them. He's here at Metro and, you know, Roy Metro and then Chuck Metro and all of these people. And it's a matter of, look, here you are, just do these things and the world is available to you.
Yeah. I just had Roy on this podcast and it was fascinating to hear his take on it, where they brought the career, all the major accounting practices were here and doing their career services and the hiring. And one of his faculty members was like, hey, Roy, I don't see your name on any of the sign up. He's like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do that. They're like, nope. So you're going to do that. Come back here. Let's work on your resume. You're going to go this. Here's a business card of this guy. Call him and let him know I sent you. And it was literally one faculty member, one teacher that just was like, nope, I see something in you. And whether you're doubting yourself or you're not feeling ready or whatever the case might be, whatever barrier you've put up, we're going to bust through that because this is a possibility for you. And here he is, you know, years later, a super successful man and now doing the same stuff for these new students. And so the cycle is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we had some things that we had in common as far as the experience. One of the things about Metro, you go from education to experience to career. And we actually were able to get experience. You know, Metro was at least career services and Ron Lujan, get out there and get an internship. And so I did an internship and that's where you get the real practice of what's really going on in the world. And my education was like, whoa, dude, seriously? It was deep.
Yeah.
With that, that's a whole nother conversation with drinks. Okay. Sure. That's a different podcast.
Well, I've got some whiskey in the bottom drawer.
But just taught me some real life things. And some, when I say real life, I mean some real life things about, you know, where you're trying to go in your career and culturally what you might have to go through to get through that career and what you need to bring with you to get in the door. All of those kind of things were open and available. And it was just because this, think of this guy, the quintessential seersucker, suspenders, Panama hat wearing guy taught me all of that.
How incredible.
Yeah.
We hear oftentimes that, especially on this podcast, but again, been here 12 years, met thousands of alums, and I have very similar conversations with all of them, not intentionally, but it always comes back to this one or two people on campus that helped them see something that was bigger than the academics, bigger than the curriculum. And it is so fascinating. And I love that yours is very much career services driven because we've really doubled down. I don't know. I know you've been back on campus today, but we've doubled down in the last probably 4 or 5 years on this vision of like, no, we need to have that experience you had replicated and globalized across this entire campus. And so our classroom to career hub, which is we call our C2 hub, is this idea of making sure that those interactions are actually embedded into all the things that you do. So whether you're in your first year intro to business class, oh, well, all of a sudden one of your things is that you got to do this thing with career services. So you start that relationship at your very first semester here.
Right.
We've built the work experiences, the internships into the curriculum. So, oh, we're doing this extra. It's like, no, actually 6 credits of your degree is that you have to go work in the space and get those experiences. I mean, that's a lot of work and there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape to get through when you're trying to shake up how students learn and where they learn. And then it's not just about in the classroom, it's also about the experiences that come. But we're starting to really see a great progression in our students feeling so much more work ready upon the point that they graduate. And we're seeing, which we've seen for a long time, but they're starting to say it more, our industry partners saying like, no, I want the Metro kit. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily go after some of the other institutions the way they come after our students, because they're like, you have all of those things. You had the education, you had the experience, you've learned those other little things that you need to know, yep, so that you can mm-hmm. come into our firm, into our place of employment, and be pretty much an impact player on day one.
Yeah. And you know, way back in the Metro days, yeah, you know, there's the older heads, but I guess I'm sort of an old head too. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned the bureaucratic red tape. Mm-hmm. There's that when you get to the career.
100%.
Or actually, there's that when you need to be interviewing to get a job to eventually Correct. Have a career. And again, getting back to, and I hate, I'm just throwing mm-hmm. Ron Lujan yeah, out yeah. there again. Ron was so involved with all of that on both sides of the fence that he sort of knew the game.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call it
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, that is.
And it was like, look, Chuck, this is how you play the game. You do mm-hmm. X, Y, and Z. You have better chances to do A, B, and C.
Yeah.
So you have to provide that education. Mm-hmm. You have to sort of mandate that experience, because if you go in a rookie not knowing anything, man, mm-hmm. they're going to mow you down.
100%.
So traditionally, you know, you go to school right after high school and then you do your 4 years mm-hmm. and you whatever. Metro, we've always been non-traditional. I went and I had a job for 10 years. I'm coming back because mm-hmm. I'm tired of doing that and I want a higher education and possibly a different career. Mm-hmm. We had students in all of our classes that gave a practical versus mm-hmm. a theoretical perspective. It's yeah. like, while the book says this, mm-hmm. let me tell you what
Here's
I do.
What happens, yeah.
It's like, really? Okay, oh, yeah. So then you had a different kind of dialogue going mm-hmm. on. A more realistic. And as you say, people want that now. Mm-hmm. Back then, it was just sort of like Metro, mm-hmm. you know. But now, because we have to be so much more efficient.
Correct.
Especially in accounting, mm-hmm. you have to be so much more efficient. You have to be so much more experienced or able to potentially manage and lead at an earlier point in time mm-hmm. that those experiences that we as Metro students bring.
Set you up.
Invaluable.
When I think about it, oftentimes, like from a business or corporate perspective or industry partner perspective, I always go back to a conversation I had with Joe Rice, who's another alumni of the institution. He sat on the alumni board for years and he works at Lockheed Martin. And he and Lockheed's investment in MSU Denver stems from this idea of everything we just talked about. And then they've quantified it pretty much in dollars to the company. Wow. They're like, listen, we're aerospace. We're in this aerospace engineering space. It's us and it's California. Mm-hmm. So CU has a great program that does a lot of the stuff. We have our great advanced manufacturing, aerospace, all that stuff. Everybody wants the job at Lockheed. Mm-hmm. They get the job, they stay for a year, learn how to be an aerospace person, and then they go back to California and go in that space. And so Lockheed measured it. And we're like, we're actually losing millions of dollars up front from training and investing in these new employees and then watching them take their expertise and their knowledge and all of those first few years of learning those real world things.
Yeah.
And they're taking it to a competing industry.
Wow.
So what is our best effort? And they were very thoughtful about this. And they said, let's look at Metro. They have excellent programs in the space. They're training their students very effectively, very mm-hmm. efficiently. 96% of their students are from Colorado. 80% of them stay here when they leave. So we're actually saving an unbelievable amount of money by investing in those students, because they're going to take the information and expertise that they have here and they're going to keep it here.
Yeah.
And then they took it an even step further and said, well, what does our first 1 or 2 years of employment at Lockheed look like? What are the skills that people right out of college don't have? And a lot of it was the specific machinery that they work on and understanding the programs that are there and what they need to do. So Lockheed said, hey guys, could we put that in your curriculum? Could we give you a machine? Yeah. And could we bring in one of our higher level people as mm-hmm. a part of an affiliate faculty? Or could we work with your faculty to train all that? So we actually get a class where they know that. So now they're coming yeah. in and they're already 6 months ahead because they actually learned that in school.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's such a fascinating thing where I know the world, people always say the world breaks down into numbers and money and all that.
It does.
And it does. And I like to be more like, no, but there's also things like love that you can't quantify. But the older I get, I'm like, oh, no, shit, everything's money.
I love money. It's there.
Just
got to look
for it. It's there, right. So I love that they took a look at their business operations mm-hmm. and saw where they're were holes and where they were losing and bleeding money and said, we have a solution. We think it's you guys. Let's partner. Mm-hmm. And so the more all of this, to come back to your point, the more that we can do that in spaces where we realize the real world experience mm-hmm. and the practicality of things and not just the theoretical approach, the better we are doing to equip our students to be as effective once they hit the workforce.
And I'm going to add on to
Please
that
add.
With the fact that a good friend of my childhood friend, military family, grow up knowing them since we were in diapers kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Did the whole LA, California, aerospace, Boeing, mm-hmm. Lockheed, whatever. Yeah. Who, I think she was with Boeing and Rocketdyne mm-hmm. and all that kind of good stuff. So she is now back home and teaching mm-hmm. in the aviation school. Marlene Price, shout out.
You know.
So she's actually teaching here.
That's awesome.
And so that's that whole, I'll bring all of my experience.
Yeah.
She's got like 35 years sure. in the aerospace, you know, mm-hmm. industry. And she's dropped down into Metro and said, okay, hey guys, here's the real world.
Yeah.
Go out, do your thing.
It's such a different experience. I ended up getting a degree here, oh gosh, 21. Part of our employment benefits is that we can take classes for free. And mm-hmm. I'm like, anytime I get a chance to learn something I don't know, I'm in. So I just started taking random classes based on like things that maybe would help me with my job or things I was curious in. I was like, I have this nice camera. I'd like to learn how to use it. So I took a photojournalism class. I loved the professor. And I was like, hey, do you teach any other classes? She's like, oh, I teach sports photography. Awesome. I'll take that with you. And then I took a graphic design class. I took a coding class because I was having issues with our software. And I was like, this is dumb. So it was like an entry-level coding class, but I know enough HTML to break things, okay. right? And then finally I had somebody reach out to me and be like, hey, you know, you're only like 4 classes away from getting a degree in like the journalism PR space. I was like, awesome. Let's do it. So I ended up taking classes, it was almost 5 years probably, because I would just take one sure. or two a semester. And and I loved that experience because it was unlike any other experience I'd had in the classroom. I went to college as an 18-year-old kid in gigantic lecture halls in a big UC school, right? And then when I got into the courses here at MSU Denver, I'm in my late 30s. And it was one of those things that I was like, that was such a different experience because I was so nervous at first to be like the old, almost 40-year-old lady in the back of the class. Like, what am I going to offer? And I realized so quickly that the students in the class, like something would be said and they'd be like, Jamie, how does that work in real life? Yeah. And I was like, oh, so I had that same exact experience. And I think it is such a valuable asset that we have here that a lot of other institutions don't have.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But I think I heard like professional student. Is that what you told me?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
100%. Okay. That's
all right.
It.
Continuous education is one of those two. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, but that's the nicer way is my dad used to always say, well, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I was like, if I could just find somewhere that would pay me to learn, I'm in. And he's like, I'm pretty sure that's a PhD program, Jamie. I was like, but I want more money than that.
You know what? Here's the deal with that. That is your life as long as you are working.
Yeah.
And you better do something after you stop working too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
for 30 years, I told you we went from paper to 5 1/4 to 3 1/2 to DVDs to now everything's on the web.
Yeah.
It's always about learning.
Yeah.
And again, AI is the latest thing. Mm-hmm. And so how does that apply? It's going to affect everybody's life in some kind of way. So you better know how it's going to affect
your life. And you got to be in. It's actually really funny. So I played softball in college. And my college coach is actually in town right now. She's here for a wedding, so she's staying with me for a couple of days, and it's been great to catch up with her. And this morning I was talking about something as we were having coffee on the patio, and she was like, I was like, well, in ChatGPT. She's like, ChatGPT? I was like, ChatGPT. Like, G is in Greg, you know, like, and she was like, I don't know what that is. And she's not that old. And I was like, oh, coach, how do you not know? Like, it's the AI doer of all things. And so I was like, yeah, like, for example, we were planning a trip that we're taking this summer to a new place we've never been. And so I just said, hey, ChatGPT, we're going to be tourists in this place. Fine looking like a tourist, but I want to see landscapes. I want to see pretty things. I want to drink some whiskey. I would like to drink at some pubs. I want to see a few historical things and make sure that we're seeing the must-sees. And when it gave me a 10-day itinerary, she goes, what? I was like, oh.
Like in minutes.
Right. You know, yeah. Not even
it took
seconds.
Me longer to type it out, you know, than it did.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm going to blow your mind. So I brought my computer out. I was like, so this, what do you want to know? And she was like, you got to be kidding me. And she just retired a year ago. And so it's to your point where it's like, you've been doing things, learning, growing. You're now retired. If you're not being thoughtful to be like, no, I got to keep being curious and learn these things. Things are going to move really fast, right?
You have to stay engaged. And so, again, instead of actually just sitting, watching the boob tube, you know, which a lot of us do, you know, that's not the life I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Giving back, coming back to a campus, they're younger. Yeah. They're going to keep me young.
Yep.
I'm going to learn all of the latest and greatest and be around a progressive kind of environment.
Yeah.
You know, plays, whatever it may be, whatever I want is going to be right there and available to me. But you have to make that plan as to what you are going to do, and learning has to be a part of it. Like I said, my ring jewelry, I make jewelry.
I know. So, I learned that about you, which is fascinating.
Again, you know, you have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I could torch and blow my house up, you know, and, you know, all those kind of good things. But it's just has to be a part of your life.
Yeah, it does. And I'm grateful that I am inherently curious, and that's always been a value because that lends itself to a lot of learning, because I very rarely see something and just go, oh, okay. It's like, but why and how and where and what is the background of that? And that has been helpful for me to continue to want to learn. But there's so many different ways that you can continue to learn and grow. And I think you hit that on the point.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, I told you I was full of stupid little idiom kind of things.
The F1,
five,
F2.
The five... Who's your buddy? Who's your pal? The five W's and an H, right? Mm-hmm. You know, who, what, why, when, where, and all that kind of good stuff. And so you have to take that into everything that you do. And like I said, if you're curious by nature, you're not going to take it for granted that that's a bottle of water. But let me actually, it looks like it says El Dorado and it looks like it has a top. And if I actually take the top, what happens? You have to do all of those things to be a complete learner.
We hope you're enjoying our conversation with distinguished alum Chucky Moss. Not only is he our Bird Talk guest today, he will be the MSU Denver 2025 Fall Commencement Speaker for the morning ceremony. Mark your calendars because MSU Denver graduates will be crossing that stage December 12th at the Colorado Convention Center. Visit msudenver.edu/commencement for more information. For the first time ever, you have the chance to leave your legacy on MSU Denver's campus. During the Roadrunners Rise campaign, you can make a gift to reserve an engraved brick that will be installed outside the brand new student housing building scheduled for completion in 2027. Your brick will cement your support and dedication to MSU Denver. Visit msudenverbricks.com/shop to start paving your legacy today. This episode is brought to you by... just a moment... And what are you supposed to be?
I'm a road runner. He's a road runner, duh.
This is a great, I love this conversation. I just love engaging with somebody that's like, yeah, I'm in this space. So, but you mentioned your jewelry making. I'd love to know how you came to that. And was it just by chance? And, and what do you do with it now?
I think it was, you know, my wife was just trying to get me out of the house. And she said, look, you know, hey, I'm going to, no, it goes back a little bit further. I was a beater way back in the day. You know, I got to do my little beaded necklaces and some bracelets, all that kind of good stuff. So there was a maker's mentality previously. And again, my wife wanted me out of the house. So she said, I'm going to get you a jewelry class for your birthday. So I went and I'm kind of a handsy guy. You know, I can do some things with my hands. And some fire, really, a torch, and I might melt some things up and I get to bang with hammers.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, count me in on that one. But here's the thing. You take all of those things that I just said, and all of a sudden, something pops up that's beautiful. You know, it's like, how did I actually take a rock and cut it and then cab it and put it in silver? How did I do that? Yeah. There's techniques and everything like that. But it's one of those kind of things that's like, hey, that was kind of cool to me. So I'm not a silversmith, even though I'd like that title one of these days. Or at least I'm not going to accept it because there's so much good stuff out there. But what I have done is I'm a little bit more educated when I see things. So if I go to K Jewelers, man, that's about like 25 cents worth of materials. And that's a CZ that I can get for about like $2.50 a carat. That ring is probably worth $5 and they're selling it to you for like $300. I don't think so. So you become a little bit smarter, well-rounded in that area. But it's just been an outlet. And of course, I filled my garage up with all kind of tools so I can just like go out there and make noise and bang stuff up. But keeping mentally sharp, I'm still working with numbers because I have to measure the little dexterity that we lose as we get older. And I'm a little bit older. So my glasses, you see, they stay right here with me.
These are bifocals. They're just blended so you can't see.
So you get to do all of those things. And that's really kind of cool for me.
That's very cool. I do love that. I am inherently a maker too, I think. I do a lot of woodworking. So I build furniture and like I'm the person that'll just find the random thing on Craigslist that someone lists as free and just take it and strip it and turn it around and then usually just give it to somebody. And my wife is constantly like, why don't you sell these things? I was like, oh, because I don't want to put the effort into it. I'd rather just give it to somebody for free. But there is such a great freedom and sense of like accomplishment when, same thing, like my garage is filled with tools. Like we had that hail scare the other day here. You weren't visiting yet, but there was a hail scare and it was like, can't put the cars in the garage.
Ouch.
And again, it's a one car garage, so it's not like it's this gigantic space. But because it is such like a, I don't know, it's like an Eden for me. Like I can just go in there, I can mess around, do some things, and feel productive and of mm-hmm. use. And the idea that you can actually create something beautiful out yeah. of random things that yep. you find, like for you, rock and probably unmelted silver that's in a weird shape, like that part doesn't get lost on me as just being so therapeutic, but also just what a beautiful transformation, yeah. right?
You know, the time passes yeah. so well out there. You know what I mean? It's like, I've been here 5 hours. Okay, and I just...
Especially since I have a nice fantastic. Fridge out there with oh some gosh. Beverages, yeah. Yeah. You know, and a bottle of whiskey.
It's hot in my garage, so depending mm-hmm. upon what time of year.
Sure, but, you sure. know.
Oh, going back to, I think I've got Oklahoma in the tournament. Who are you going with?
So here's the deal. Oklahoma is really tough for me to like because they have just been a perennial powerhouse. So Nebraska is my team this year.
Okay.
And part of it is I love their coach, Rhonda Revelle. She's a legend. She's been there like 35 years. Mm-hmm. And then one of my dear friends here in Denver actually played for her. Oh, wow. She was the last team that made the World Series for Nebraska. And so that would have been like 05. So since Nicole and I are very close friends, like I'm happy to mm-hmm. go for that.
Cool.
So it's very cool. But yeah. I love that you know, and I love yeah. that you're going for yeah. Oklahoma.
We're at odds, but that's okay.
No, it's okay. If they win it, great. Then it's a three-peat and that's awesome. But yeah. It's kind of like the anti-Dodgers, anti-Yankees mentality.
I got it now. You know? That's all you have to say, yeah. anti-Dodgers, because I can't stand the Dodgers either. But this is sports talk. This is not ESPN, is it? Okay.
Could be. All right. One of my first guests was actually an alum who is now a SportsCenter host.
Really?
So I geeked out for a long time on that. So Gary, I think he was our second guest. He hosts SportsCenter on typically Sunday mornings and I think early morning Sundays. And then he does like a nighttime okay. show as well. And I was like, oh my God, he said yes. And so he wasn't here because he was in Connecticut, obviously. And so I was like, Gary, I just have so many questions I want to ask you about all of the other SportsCenter people. And he was like, shoot. I was like, okay.
Exactly. Let me know. Because, well, my CSU days, Kevin Cork.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was up there. He was at ESPN. He was here mm-hmm. at Channel 9. And he's now over at Fox. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying anything. Mm-hmm. So just an interesting industry as well.
It is. So. But I do love sports. Yeah. Sounds like you do mm-hmm. too. What's your favorite sport?
Broncos.
Well, obviously.
Who else?
Gotcha.
You know, I'm a Denver fan. So
sure.
Anything Denver.
I know. Placing bets left and right.
Nuggets, Avs, yeah. you know, Broncos.
I know.
I'll even say Rockies, mm-hmm. but, you know, that's a pain.
It's a rough deal. So, but yeah. the Yankees are in town this weekend, so the stadium should be packed.
Oh, my gosh. They're here.
They are here tonight.
Oh, right now. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got
so don't go
tickets.
Downtown
yeah.
is what you're telling me. Yeah. Don't go down that way.
Don't go down that okay. way. But I do got tickets if you want some. So
I'll take you up on that. No.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Okay, so we talked about your early origins, how you got to MSU Denver, talked a little bit about things you were involved here and the impact that was there. Were there any mm-hmm. student groups or anything else that you did on campus while you were here?
The Accounting Student Association. It wasn't ASO back in the day. It was
a little
ASA,
nerdy, but okay.
ASA back in the day. And we had a different logo than what they have now. Ours was so cool because the two A's intersected and made the mountains.
Oh.
And then we put the S in the middle.
Yeah.
And also the two mountains made Metro. Oh, my God. Wow. So anyway, that was really the big thing was, again, Ron Lujan.
Mm-hmm.
He said, look, if you guys want to stand out and make your name, I think that you should take this organization that had sort of died off a little bit
yeah.
and bring it back and have a big function.
Yeah.
And that way you will have to work with all of these. It was a career fair.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to work with all of these organizations. So again, communication skills,
yeah.
presentation
all those
skills,
intangibles. Yeah.
sales skills, mm-hmm. everything that you need to be successful going forward.
Yeah.
So it took all of those. We put it on. And it was successful.
Yeah.
And so that was the organization that I was involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that was sort of spin it up, do some things with it, get it going, and let that be your springboard.
Yeah.
It worked out very, very well. And just credit to Metro for
yeah.
the old and dead Accounting Student Association that we brought back to life.
Yeah, there you go. You resuscitated it all. And now you have an interest in the National Association of Black Accountants,
yes.
too. So how did you get involved with them? And what's the dream result of your relationship with MSU Denver yep. and trying to create that?
Yep. So National Association of Black mm-hmm. Accountants, NABA Inc. is what mm-hmm. they go by now.
Okay.
You know, Metro, one
yeah,
word,
yeah, yeah.
NABA
yeah.
Inc. That's
I
our one
it.
Word. So again, old heads, mm-hmm. all these guys that had done everything before me, the Russells, the Roys, mm-hmm. the Jimmy Armstrongs, the, you know, the Lucius Ashbys, all of those guys were like, okay, young buck, this is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Join NABA and just go to a student conference.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about a student conference, let's just say Southwestern Region, they're hosting it in Dallas and you have 500 students and 100 companies there, you know, doing interviews and all mm-hmm. that kind of good stuff. It's a networking, it's an interviewing, it's all of those things. And it's educational
yeah.
too. So that was my experience listening to these guys. Do this if you want to go someplace.
Yeah.
Went there and I came back from that conference and I think I had like 5 job offers.
Oh, that's awesome.
Some decent ones. Mobil Oil. Who's the medical entity out of Chicago? I can't even think of their name now, but just came back. Confidence, you know,
yeah.
I've got jobs. And then so all of the interviewing here in the city kicked off and it was like Grant Thornton and Arthur Anderson. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, I've got some other job offer. So I don't have to necessarily take yours. What is your best offer?
Yeah, some negotiation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, who knew that that was going to happen is that I would be able to sort of have all of these resources and use them against each other.
Yeah.
Per se.
Yeah, yeah.
But it worked out. So just from listening and doing with this organization, I've gotten a lot of things from a lot of places. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, CSU, mm-hmm. Metro, NABA, Career Services, Ron Lujan, and all the people, all of those things are why I am here. Mm-hmm. And in the accounting industry, NABA Inc. is why I really am here too.
Oh, that's very
so
cool.
That was actually sort of the runway in, and I've just been able to boom off of that. And they have a lot of other programs that you can get involved in. I learned late in life, but they have a program, the ACAP program, where they go into high schools. Mm-hmm. And right now, the industry is, I'll say, in decline of resources and talent. The numbers, they just aren't coming in. Nobody cares about accounting anymore because AI is going to do their account. Not that's really, but,
yeah, but sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers aren't the same.
Yeah.
So go get those talented kids and let's expose them. Because that's another thing. If you don't know something exists, you can't take advantage of it.
Agreed.
Expose them to a career. Expose them to a program. Give them that leg up in their development. And that's what it really is. It's just all about access, exposure, mm-hmm. and just a great place to network and learn.
Oh, that's awesome. Do we have a offshoot here on campus currently, or is what you kind of want to do is bring that back and make it strong? And
from my understanding, mm-hmm. there is not necessarily an active organization mm-hmm. on campus, which there aren't on a lot of campuses yeah. just because student organizations aren't really cool anymore.
Sure.
I can actually be mm-hmm. online and my TikTok is the best thing in the world.
Right.
But your TikTok may or may not provide you a career.
Correct.
So for those of us that don't have a TikTok career and we want to go into accounting, good way to do it. But you just have to think these tools and these resources, let's take advantage. Here on Metro, can we actually establish something? Because the numbers, let me actually tell you mm-hmm. about the numbers. I did the same thing with that other institution. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, I'm coming back. I'm a black guy. Let me know what your numbers are. Oh, we have 13 in the business school and 5 in accounting and finance. That's probably what it was when I was up there.
Yeah.
That's not really good. It's mm-hmm. not, you know, indicative. And so what are you actually doing with the 13 and the 5? Mm-hmm. Are you helping them? Come down here, we have 350 plus. Mm-hmm. We have 50 in the accounting department. Mm-hmm. 350 meaning in the business school.
In the business school, yeah.
And then, you know, 50 plus in the accounting school. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. You can actually have officers, like a president, a vice
right.
president. You can have all of them with 50 plus students to choose from. But if they establish something and allow the students to gain the skills, mm-hmm. learn the skills, because it takes some effort to be a leader, to be a president of an organization, to lead it forward.
Yeah.
And the rest of the officers and also the rest of the people, because, you know, there's always the committees. Everybody has to be a worker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you get that experience. And who are you doing that in front of? Those people that are looking at you that want to hire you. And if you can show that you have these skill sets, and better yet, you've actually performed them in front of people.
Oh, yeah. You're setting yourself up. Yeah.
So we've had those conversations, and I would like to see what we can do. If NABA Inc. is part of the vehicle, definitely.
Yeah.
If there's something else, you know, some of the other conversations are from theory to practice. Mm-hmm. There's many times differences.
Sure.
Out of the book, it says A, but when you get to real life, it says X, Y, and Z mm-hmm. to be able to provide resources. Now, my company, we are a software vendor and other mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? We even have Lippincott. Mm-hmm. I think that's the name of it.
The
college book.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually do college books too.
Oh, there you
so,
go.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So if you can give those students access to the resources that they will be using when they actually get to where they're trying to go to, how much better are you? It's like,
everyone's better.
That's not fooling me. I know exactly what to do.
Company's better. The students are well more equipped once they're there.
You gave the example. Mm-hmm. How much money am I losing or gaining?
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. I'm actually gaining, which means I get dollars. The partners have now hired the best student who's the most efficient that does the job most efficiently. And so I make the most money on that job. I want some more of those little guys. Yeah. Can you like mint those for me?
Yeah.
But you have the opportunity to do that here. If it's not being done, I'm not saying it's not being done.
Sure.
If it is not being done, we have the opportunity to do something like that. And for a, I'm just going to call it a profession that is on the decline as far as the numbers coming in, why not fill the numbers up with a certain aspect or a certain student?
Absolutely.
And again, NAB Inc., it's open to anybody who wants to join.
Sure.
You want to go to Vegas? They're having the conference in Vegas in a couple of weeks.
Perfect.
so it is a fantastic opportunity. You're going to have 4,000 people hanging out in Vegas. You know that's a party waiting to happen, right?
There's a lot of things waiting to happen.
Oh, my goodness. And if 2,000 of those are college students, there's really something happening. And, you know, they have a pool party, all that kind of good stuff. And all the stars are going to be there. You know, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Sure.
And so it's going to be a good time filled with a lot of networking and learning. It's just exposure.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's go.
I know. I especially think about it now where job applications in any industry, not just accounting, like everything's done on the internet. And it's just like, oh, submit this. And then some AI bot's going to read to make sure that your resume meets all of the requirements. Mm-hmm. How much more impactful is it when I can actually be in person, have that networking space? And if I'm presenting or if I'm in some sort of leadership role, like you said, then you're actually seeing me work before I'm working. And so there's still so much value to those in-person things. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more important probably now than ever with these generations that have grown up with so much automation and so much internet to realize like, no, there's value face-to-face.
Because you can get out there and the internet, everything is true, right? So you can know everything. But a lot of times it's like not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
Let me actually get to who I know that can actually get me to where, so then I can actually show you what I do know. And again, with Metro and what we're trying to do here, if we can provide those resources that are used with where you're going, man, that's just, you're putting somebody so much further ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm. And that's honestly, at the end of the day, that's really what higher ed is in general, right? It's this idea that we're just trying to give you more exposure, more knowledge, more understanding so that you're getting ahead of the game and giving you the best opportunity for social mobility, for economic mobility, whatever the case might be. And so then when we're super intentional with our programming to not just say, oh, the degree isn't just all you need. It's also this exposure, this experience. And it's like we're double dipping in this great space to be able to really provide opportunity. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I think it's going to be really exciting. And I'm glad you're in some good conversations with great company with Russell. And
yeah, it's fun to come back.
Yeah.
Because, I was on the alumni board.
Right.
You're the researcher. You knew that.
I think, right before I got here. So I started here. Really 2014, I think December 2013, I was hired. And I think you were just right up to like 12 and 13. So you probably worked with Mark and Janelle, Mark Jasdorf and Sherilyn.
Do they still do the black and white ball?
We don't do
the black and white ball. No, that was so much fun. Okay, all right.
So it's the 60th anniversary for the university starting this next academic year, so in August. And I was like, hey, we need to bring back some old things, like get the Metro back. Just one line at Metro.
Okay, cool.
Which is great. And even before I knew you wanted that. So I do know, I mean, I understand how brands work and they evolve and all the things. So like, there's very good reason why we've been so MSU Denver.
For sure.
But also like now there's nostalgia to that. There's also identity to that. That is very important.
And we're known now.
Correct.
Because like you said, it's not the non-traditional anymore. There are now traditionals coming.
Correct.
And it's like, dude, you know, I'm going to Metro.
You know, like I want a hat with a bird on it. I was like, we could do the plain and fancy again. We could do the black and white. And everyone's like, wait, they had a what? I was like, oh, the plain and fancy ball. And they're like, what was that? I was like, oh, like you wore like a tuxedo top and board shorts.
Yeah,
and it was the idea of that. That's our identity. We are excellent. That is our fancy.
Yeah.
We give you an excellent education. We're also accessible and we're hardworking and we're all of these things that, you know, we talk about Roadrunners being. And so that's just your plain. And you can be both.
And it was a great fundraiser, too. We made money on that puppy, and there were a lot of good gifts that were, you know, available for
it. Yeah.
So it was a good time.
We'll see what I can do in my spare time as I plan the 60th anniversary.
All right.
Awesome.
It's just so good to be back on campus. I'm going to do a couple of things here.
Yeah.
I just want to say, after being away for so long and coming back and seeing, I'm actually staying at the Spring Hill Suites.
Oh, awesome.
So, of course, when it was like, okay, where am I going to stay? I think I remember conversations about, well, let me check the hotel out. You know, that's the nicest Spring Hill Suites that I've ever been in. And I've been in a lot of Marriott properties.
It's one of the top ranked ones in the nation. And at one point, it was either one or two.
I'm like, just letting you know. Yep, it's one it's of the legit. Nicest ones that I've been. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, that's a converted Best Western. No, correct. This one is really, really nice. And then to know that it was a collab between, mm-hmm. truly a collab.
Yeah.
Metro, Marriott, the school, mm-hmm. you're coming up with this hospitality management.
Yeah.
And then when I check in, I'm just chatting with the receptionist there who's checking me in. You know, I'm telling her I'm back in town to do mm-hmm. this, that, and the other yeah. over at Metro. And I decide to stay here because, and she says, well, I'm a graduate of the program. Yeah. I'm like, oh, well, she's like, you know, and I'm the front desk manager and, you know, moving up and going. Mm-hmm. And it gets back to sort of, let me give you some education.
Yeah.
Let me give you some experience.
Yeah.
And she's blooming in her career. And where can she go? Marriott's are all over the yep. world. She can go all over the world if she wants to. Yeah. So it's available to her. But again, it's a matter of having access to that. Mm-hmm. That was just one.
Yeah.
You've got the new buildings that are on campus. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we used to have to, classes were across Spear on yep. the other side yeah. over
you
there by Larimer Square.
Hey, across the road. Yeah.
So all of the facilities that they have now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gym was there. Yeah, mm-hmm. the library was there. Mm-hmm. And the student center, St. Cadgetan's was mm-hmm. there. That Oh, 9th Street Park was mm-hmm. there. That was probably about it. Now all of the specific Metro buildings, yeah. because everything was shared.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's nice to have your own facilities, your mm-hmm. own identity, all of those kind of yeah. things to carve out that piece. And again, when I say carve out, here's the thing. Where are we? We're in downtown Denver.
Yeah.
From my hotel window, I look over the mountains and I see the Tivoli. But if I look the other way, I see downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, wait a minute here. That's just the land of opportunity.
Right.
And Metro, mm-hmm. that's the land of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that's how things have been brought back. It's still the same land of opportunity that it was for me back in that day.
It really, just with really more cool. buildings and with, less and less parking, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Higher parking, you know, okay. All of those good yeah. things.
It is fascinating when we see a lot of alums come back maybe for alumni weekend or homecoming and they mm-hmm. haven't been back since they graduated. And it is. It's like the first time I went to New York and I just get dropped off and I'm like, these buildings are so tall, you know, and mm-hmm. people know you're the tourist because you're just going, this is
right.
It's the same with our alums that just walking around with so much awe going, mm-hmm. this is an entirely different campus and it has much more of a campus feel and it's hopefully providing different opportunities and different access to more unique things. And so
dorms are coming, right? So people can stay on campus and be right next to downtown or in downtown and in Lodo and in Rhino and all that.
Right.
Wait a minute. I wish.
I know.
I should come back and go to school.
You should come back and get another, you get the MBA now, right? We got the graduate programs. But yeah, you think about it, it's just going to be built right on the west side of that hotel. And if that development, when it goes up, it's like, that's actually prime real estate. To your point, you're going to be standing on the 12th floor looking out, going, there's the mountains, land of opportunity, there's this. And you realize you're in this and immersed in that yeah. space. It's going to mm-hmm. be a game changer for students just to be able mm-hmm. to be so incorporated in the things that are here.
Definitely.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. Well, I love that you're back. I love that it's been positive for you. You leave tomorrow, today?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right.
Getting back to the triple digits.
I was going to say, yeah. it's got to be real hot there.
It's a dry heat.
It is a dry heat. And I know that it's like such a cliche thing to say, but it's very true. Like here, if it's really hot, I can just stand in the shade and it drops 10 degrees right away.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't sweat in, yeah. you know, that dry heat yeah. like that. It's just.
And there's air conditioning everywhere.
Oh, yeah, exactly. In my car, in the house, in the store. Yeah. So it's not like you're really outside, you
yeah,
know, in
enough.
The baking heat all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you'd listened to one of our podcasts before, so you should know that we finished with rapid fire questions.
Okay.
All right, so I got three of them for you.
Yep.
First one, what is your favorite MSU Denver memory?
Graduating.
Yeah.
It was and I didn't go to the graduation ceremony, but it was graduating.
It was the relief, right? Yeah.
8 years, mm-hmm. and I'm finally getting to where I think I need to get to. So yeah. it's graduating, definitely.
That's very cool.
With that second degree in accounting.
Yeah. Because okay, now you knew that was the one you were yep. going to deploy.
Exactly.
Yeah. You get very emotional at commencement because I get so wrapped up in the work that you do, and mm-hmm. you get wrapped up in your life, and it's just like, oh, now I got to go all day on Friday and do this. And it's like you show up there, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, all of this makes sense because you're seeing signs of like, there was this one beautiful sign that this young woman had, and it just said, congratulations, Dad. And it's just like, oh my God, this guy's graduating, and this is cool. We had a handful of graduates that like taking their photos with their children afterwards. This is making a difference.
Yes.
And so the full array of emotions, whether you're at the commencement ceremony or it's just like 8 years of going, oh my God, it's finally done.
Yep.
And I did it. And I persevered. I moved through it. And now I'm better off because of it.
You bet.
So I love that.
And then there was Jamie who was holding up the line. Because she was hugging everybody.
So to be fair, as we were lining up, so I teach out of this exercise science department. I teach a legal liabilities course for sport management and exercise science majors. All of a sudden, I see those majors, and one kid's like, oh, my God, Professor Hurst, and gives me this hug. And then it was just like a line of things. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so proud of all you guys. And it is just, it was a very touching moment.
I guess everybody said, don't let her back in next time. Okay.
You are out of here. Get out of here. All right. What does it mean to you to be a roadrunner?
There are a lot of things that we go through in life, and we live and die by our decisions. Mm-hmm. And of course, I thought Metro was a death decision. It was like last resort kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you get here and it's just like, oh, wow, this is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So just that whole way that things worked out mm-hmm. was perfect.
Yeah.
So we're perfect.
That's awesome.
Yep.
Ah, I love it. All right, last one. If you could put a billboard anywhere on campus with a piece of advice for students to see, what would it say?
Okay, I thought about this one, and I tried to come up with something cool to say because I saw the little Rise video and all that kind of stuff, and it's like, I've got to be that cool. That's actually a fantastic, you know, piece of work, though. But, you know, here's what I thought about and what it really meant to me. You know, if somebody was to say something or if there are some words that could give me comfort, I'm going to say like maybe three because I questioned. Again, like I said, this is like the last resort. Mm-hmm. You know, next thing you know, I'm going to have to go get a GED. No, I've got a high school diploma. But
go Patriots.
You know, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
And so here's what I would say. Absolutely. You're in the right place. Mm. Now enjoy the ride.
You nailed it. I mean, I love everything about that. What more can be said?
Mm-hmm.
There is so much power to me in that statement too, because it presupposes that the truth that I think is very real, that most of us are constantly questioning. What are we doing? Are we in the right place? Is this the right use of my time? Is this the right use of my money? And so just takes that into consideration by just saying, yeah, you're supposed to be here.
Now enjoy it. Because
yeah, exactly.
it was so cool to come down here. I'm telling you, it was, comparably speaking, so cool to be here.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, Chucky, this has been rad. I super appreciate this.
Thanks for having me.
Spend some time.
For sure.
Yeah. Thank you for being with us.
Happy to help out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Bird Talk, special accommodation provided by University Advancement. Thank you to Brandy Rideout. Production provided by David Sharman, and I'm your host, Jamie Hurst. Keep running, roadies.